Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Now this is Hollywood Unlocked. What up, everybody? It's Hollywood Unlocked and Censored. I'm Jason Lee.
I'm Melissa Ford, a.k.a. The Curve Queen.
Yep, it's DJ Damage.
Yeah, we have a real legend in the building, Deborah Cox.
Hey.
I don't know how this happened, but thank you for coming.
Thank you. I know, amidst all the crazy stuff going on.
No, but just the fact that you're a legend. I mean, with the last legend we had here was John, but you're like an R&B pop legend.
Thank you.
Is
thank
legend you. Okay? Is that a respect?
Legend is okay. I'm living it, owning it.
Iconic.
And yes. I love iconic and I love legend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? I think a lot of the times we don't like to take credit for the work that we've done. I mean, I've always grown up to be this humble, you know, wear your humility, always be humble and stuff. And it's cool. But sometimes you have to big up your chest. You have to big up yourself. You know what I mean?
No, because I mean, I feel like some people don't like the word legend or icon because they feel like it's a dated
like
thing.
Them,
but I feel
right.
like
you I could, used to feel like that.
Really?
I used to think that. Yeah. And again, that stupid. Like, when are we going to celebrate our accomplishments?
Mm-hmm. Right.
When are we, you know what I mean? Like, we can wait till, you know, we really can't do nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? No. This is the time to celebrate all the experiences, all the people that I've inspired and touched and, you know, yeah. So I own it.
Well, besides you being a legend, I'm excited because you're a hometown hero. We're both from Toronto.
I did not know.
Here we go.
This. What?
Here we go.
Canada's taking over.
Damn it. Let's just sit here and wait till
it's
done.
I love it.
No, you have no idea.
You're from Toronto?
I'm born and raised. I went to Oakwood Collegiate.
Wow.
Hey,
okay,
shut
so
up.
Oakwood.
Listen,
Oakwood
you guys
is.
Do this whenever somebody from Stockton or the Bay is here, right. So give me a couple of minutes.
We need a moment.
Okay, no,
two people.
For all our listeners in Compton, just hold on a minute. Go ahead.
Okay, so yeah. I grew up around Dufferin and Eglinton.
Yes, that's a real...
So you know where
I know
is.
Where that is. Okay. Yeah, Dufferin and Eglinton, yes.
My father's from Barbados, so yeah, no, I heard the guys. And yeah, Bajan Queen.
That is a very hard accent.
We're so sing-songy. Really,
are y'all bringing out the Canadian accent?
See, we have to keep the conversation English because the coronavirus is spread. And I don't want to switch up the energy.
No, I love it. How long have you been here?
I've been here. My anniversary is September 11th. I got here year before the towers came down.
Oh my god!
And when
Melissa came.
And when the towers came down, everybody from Toronto was calling me. They're like, "Are you coming home now?" I was like, "They're gonna have to bomb my house. I'm not coming back."
Not happening.
Is there something about being from Toronto? And you're mm-hmm. like, "We're really proud mm-hmm. of being from Toronto and being Canadians."
Yeah,
but. Once you get out, you
once
know.
You leave, it's a different energy.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there's a grind that happens in New York and LA, mm-hmm. Chicago, you know what I mean? Certain mm-hmm. cities. And Toronto has a different kind of grind. It's
yeah.
a different mm-hmm. kind of thing.
And the whole thing about you not wanting to celebrate your, you know, your accomplishments and stuff,
yeah.
that's
we
because
always downplay
we're Canadian.
Yeah.
We're really pragmatic
and really
sensible
nice.
And we're really nice. Yeah. You know, like when you step on our foot, we say sorry.
Not everybody. Everybody in Toronto ain't nice.
Okay, well, we're a different breed.
Okay.
Okay, we're a different breed. I can't really speak for the youngins now.
Yeah, it's different.
Well, let's
language.
Be clear. We're all still young. I mean,
yes.
we're relatively
yeah,
we're all the
young.
Same age.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm talking about like the
but let
teenagers,
me say,
20s.
Let me say something.
Right.
For people that don't get...
20s.
For people who don't have the privilege of sitting this close to Deborah Cox, it's too bad. But you have great skin, and you're very
thank
beautiful.
You. Thanks so much.
And you just
thank
walked
you.
In the room. So typically, we our guests are typically late.
Mm-hmm.
But Deborah came early
never,
today.
Yeah.
Door just opened.
With
and
no
Deborah
entourage.
She just came in. Like
she just walked in. We were like, oh, hey. Hi.
Yeah, yeah.
We're
no, it's not I don't ready. Know.
So is that humility thing? Is that a Toronto thing?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I think it's definitely a Canadian thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's funny because I met another Canadian at Michael Costello's designing mm-hmm. At his showroom.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so low-key, chill, relaxed, you know, and she's like been on... like 5 Netflix movies and just, you know, killing it. And she's just like, yeah, you're from, and we got to talking, and the girl is, you know, just, again, just real level-headed, cool. And she was talking about the cool part of having this anonymity, where she is completely anonymous here, but if she goes to, you know, Italy or anywhere abroad, they know her from all of her shows. And as a Canadian, that's kind of the duality of it, because as a Canadian, you're like, you know, you can live amongst all the celebrity life and the Hollywood life, but you're not caught up in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can just, you know, you're good.
Whenever people would say, Melissa, you're so grounded, stay that way, I'm like, I don't have a choice.
You
I'm Canadian.
No choice. You don't know any other way.
I'm Canadian. That's always the answer.
It's true.
So speaking of staying grounded, you've worked with some of the best of them. So Tamia, Kelly Price, and Whitney Houston. I did a party with Whitney and she died the next day. That was our connection, because I didn't know your relationship with Whitney. So being around all these other greats and you being so great, who do you like? Like, who are you a fan of?
That's a good question. I'm a fan of the people that are not in front of the camera. I'm a fan of the people that can hold it down and not all the time get the recognition that they deserve.
So, like,
the
background vocalists?
Background vocalists, the ones that have sung backgrounds for people who were singing the leads, supposed to be singing the leads, who are the ones who have made a pact with the industry to stay in the cut.
In the background,
You know, to stay in the cut in order to see someone else move forward. You know what I mean?
Like,
kind of people,
I wouldn't make that sacrifice.
At some point, it's like, you know, but, you know, I've met everybody. I've met kings and queens. I've met everybody.
Have you met Michelle Obama yet?
Yes.
Have you really? You guys kind of have a similar.
It's a Canadian.
Right?
She's not Canadian. She's not Canadian. Michelle Obama.
She's from Chicago. She's from Chicago. Okay. She might as well be Canadian.
That's not the same thing.
I mean, it's freezing.
It's cold as hell. It's
Chicago and Toronto.
Have you seen the snow? I mean, maybe not this year.
As a matter of fact, I was in Chicago one time in the winter, and I was like, okay, I thought it was cold in Canada.
Yes.
This is some next level shit.
It's a whole other thing.
Yeah, it was insanity.
You can never get used to it.
So you've been performing since 12 years old. Did you know, like, your whole life, was this just plan A? There was no plan B? That this is what you wanted to do?
Absolutely.
Really?
I knew... I was probably about 6 or 7. I knew that singing, I mean, it was something. I just knew I had a different voice from everybody else. I was singing in talent shows. I was doing commercial jingles. I was doing all that stuff. I was grinding. I was in bands. I was a background singer. I was doing it all. And I knew that music was something that I wanted to do. It was going to help me get out of the situation that I was in, which was, you know, a little bit of, you know, the dysfunctional family kind of thing and the certain dynamics and being poor. I just hated not having, you know, other opportunities like other people. Mm-hmm. So I knew that music was going to be the way out.
Did you think it would take you all over the world?
Did you think it was going to take you out of Canada in the beginning?
Wow. I always saw myself out of there, but I didn't know
how it was going to happen.
Yeah. Because we had no black radio. We had no soul. We had no...
Please
there
tell
was
them.
Nobody that I could look to and say, I want to do that. It was Whitney that I saw on a show. I heard her voice, and that was a game changer. I was like, who is that? That's what I want to do. And that was the only reference that I had.
Yeah.
And so it just became my path.
So I recently saw Chaka Khan in Chicago at the All-Star Game, and I said to her, because I had met her before, but I never had a conversation with her. And I said, I really like how she held Whitney down when she passed away. Like, she was one of the most public vocal voices in music to say, hey, like, I'm not going to let the media define Whitney Houston. I'm going to tell you how she was this, she was that. When you saw how the media treated her in her passing, what did you think?
I mean, I just thought they were vultures, you know? I think people forgot that this was a human being, that this is a person that took a lot on her shoulders to, you know, create this amazing legacy of music and stuff, and she was just shit on, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that bothered me and that frustrated me as a fan, as a person who loved her music, as a person who was inspired by her. And so when the opportunity came to do, it was a Lifetime movie, and Angela Bassett called me to do it,
See, yeah, she just threw that name out, Angela Bassett.
I need
my good friend.
Who's my favorite actress in the world?
She's queen, you know. Yeah. And I hold our friendship, and so I revere our friendship and respect it, you know what I mean? So when she called me to do the vocals, I was like, absolutely. I mean, this woman needs to be celebrated. And so we did the best that we could with the time that we had, with what we had to work with. And I went and I sang, I think it was 6 songs. We did it, knocked it out. And then the Bodyguard musical came maybe 6-7 months later.
You see, everybody's not
so
called
different.
To sing Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, Tinashe's not getting that call.
Right. I got you.
She's not.
You know, I think that it's really, you know, it's about the heart, you know? And I think people know that the heart that I have for her. And people know the respect and admiration. And so I think a part of that went into, you know, the call, you know.
And also the fact that you're not a studio singer. You are an official singer. Sang the breaks off a motherfucker.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I studied, you know. I studied and I
worked at it. You sang with Celine too, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And she was the one who taught me about discipline, you know, that you can't smoke and drink. Look, there's people that can do all of that and still sing and be okay. That's not me. I can't do all of that. I need to have voice rest. I need to make sure I have rest. I need to drink tons of water. There's a lot that goes into what I do. Mm-hmm. And so I, again, respect it, respect the craft, and put my time in learning how to create and do certain things, you know, to try and create the essence of her voice mm-hmm. when I need to mm-hmm. and when I'm asked to. And then I leave it there, and then I do Deborah Cox.
What do you think about the Whitney Houston hologram?
And I spoke to, you know, the family. I just recently saw them at a function and stuff. And I think, you know...
Who, Pat Houston?
Both her and Ulysses. And it's like, I don't know the position that they're in, and I can't speak on them. I know that there are a lot of people that miss her music, that miss her presence, that miss her star shining, you know, and I don't know what they're getting from that show. Mm-hmm. So I can't say that it's right or wrong, you know? And I don't know all the dynamics that go into the, because you know this business. Mm-hmm. It's very, very, there's a lot. Mm-hmm. It's complicated. Mm-hmm. So, that's
would you,
it.
after it's all said and done, would you want a Deborah Cox hologram show?
I wouldn't want, no. Mm-hmm.
Why not?
I don't think it would serve. Well, you know, you never say never. Never say never. You know what? You don't know what the circumstances are. You don't know how it's serving the people who are fans.
Yeah.
You don't know what that does for people. I mean, yeah.
From a fan point of view.
After watching Beyonce Homecoming Live, like standing there watching it, I could never go back and watch Beyonce
hologram. And watch
hologram.
Something, I mean, yeah. What? Yeah, but I get that.
I remember when they did the Tupac hologram, and I thought it was
disrespectful.
Dope. I thought it was
that's
dope.
The thing.
I'm talking about as a fan, looking at just not the business of it, missing Tupac and so many people not being able to experience that, you know, that superstar power. It was just dope to see him on the stage, like, you know, it was dope.
And that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. These fans, these people that love the music, the art of it, you can't speak for them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So there's an example right there of someone that was, you know, you loved it.
Yeah.
You loved the show. Mm-hmm. You know?
So you sang with Celine. Mm-hmm. You've sang with Whitney. You've sung Whitney's songs. You've performed with all these people. When you look at R&B singers of today... Mm-hmm. Do you kind of look at them and just go, what is this microwavable bullshit that the industry is spitting out?
That's not what I say.
That
ain't what I say. Oh.
No, because I'm just trying to
understand. Do you?
No, because I think of like, okay, the party we had with Whitney the day before she died. It was Whitney Houston, Faith Evans, Kiki Wyatt, Anthony Hamilton.
Some singers.
Elle DeBarge. Mm-hmm. Who else was? I mean, Monifa. It was just like a bunch of real singing, and I'm a huge R&B fan. I'm R&B before hip hop, R&B and church. Like that's just my thing. What's changed?
I mean, a lot has changed. A lot has changed, but the times have changed. You know what I mean? We have to learn to move with the times and accept that the times are going to change. Every day we're getting older. Every day shit's changing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's inevitable. So we have to learn to embrace it and try to be there for the ones that are coming up, that are new, that are trying to figure themselves out. You know what I mean? And help them work through the transition of it all. Mm-hmm. Because that part of it is really difficult and tough, you know. And I think for these new artists that are coming up, we've got to continue to celebrate the pioneers that are still here.
Facts. Mm-hmm.
So that they know who to look to. Like, we need mm-hmm. to inform them. Mm-hmm. They're just not informed, the new, you know, some of the new school artists. Yeah. They're just not. And that's not their fault.
Is it common for someone like a Deborah Cox to reach out to, like, a young R&B star that you think is promising or that you enjoy?
Is there anyone you're mentoring at the time? I can mentor when I have the platform to do so. Mm-hmm. So, case in point, I have new music out right now. I need y'all to support it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I need radio. I need all the DSPs to get on board, play it, play the shit, you know what I mean? So that I can do what I do. If you want me to help lead and support, I need that support as well. Mm-hmm. And because I'm not dead yet. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not, you know what I mean? So... Mm-hmm. It's just like, that's the only way that we're going to be able to pass on the baton. And that was how it was for Patty and Whitney and Gladys and all of our pioneers that are still here. They were able to pass on the baton to us because they had a platform. Radio was playing them. You would see them on, you know, whatever, BET. You'd see them on these different shows and, you know what I mean? But now, as soon as you hit a certain age, they're ready to write you off. Mm-hmm. They're ready to just, like, retire you, which is...
But that's where I think, like, instead of Deborah reaching out to this generation, whatever, like, it's a symbiotic relationship where everybody has to be reaching, right? True. Like, I feel like I say microwavable artists, it's just like, what's hot right now? What can I get out right now? There's the pressure of what's next, what's next, what's next? Instead of, like, creating life, like, music that lasts forever. Like, your music is going to last forever. Whitney's music is going to last forever. Faith Evans, music's going to last forever. Mm-hmm. And I struggle sometimes. I think, like, Beyonce is barely getting into music that's going to last a long time because we ain't going to be 70 talking about bills, keep paying my bills. And, you know
that's Destiny's Child. That's different. That's not Beyonce.
That's, she was seeing lead on the track.
Those were classic songs in that time, too. Yeah. You know what I, but I know, I understand what you're saying, the style of it, the type of soul music, but... Everything can't, we can't keep singing, you know what I mean, stuff from yesteryear. We have to keep growing.
Is there
some
anybody?
Some songs you can keep singing.
I mean, you can.
I mean, nobody's supposed to be here. I look at somebody like, how did you get here?
Yes.
You gonna always ask a nigga next to you, like, how you get here?
That song's still good.
Deborah, is there anybody, anybody that you love inside of the genre of R&B right now? Like, let me give you a suggestion.
Okay.
Another hometown hero, Division. Have you heard of them? DVSN?
I have.
Oh, you got to download their album right now.
So much music.
I swear I can pass it all on to you.
Are you leading her on to somebody she's supposed to like?
But this is Melissa. Do you? I want to ask you who you like right now. Division. You got to like them.
No, she's good.
You gave her her suggestion.
Okay. Only reason I suggested them is, or like brought them up, is because they're also from Toronto. Also, I'm really sorry. Good. I'm having a moment here. Okay. It's very rare that I get like one of my hometown heroes here. So, you know,
But I mean, there's Summer Walker, there's Ari Lennox.
Oh, like, no, I'm not even talking about the ones that you hear about all the time, because that's what we're talking about, is artistry that doesn't get discovered, like, you know, like Xavier Omar.
Right.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about. Exactly.
And it's when you mention the name that I go, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, like, there's some R&B artists that aren't really being talked about, like, you know, every single day, and their music isn't played on the radio, you know, but they're true artists. Like, I think their music will stand the test of time if it's ever heard.
Right.
You know?
And that's what I mean. We just have to have platforms where we can get people to know and hear about all this great artistry and all these great musicians. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. There does need to be like an R&B festival. Not saying we there's not like, one, but right. like
well, we have more.
More.
Yeah. We need more.
And I wanted to mix the legends and the icons with some people that are young and promising, if it makes sense. But I don't know, what is that space like? Is there a lot of love between the R&B community? How does that work?
Like, you know, when we get a chance to see and meet each other, like I just did a photo shoot with 7th Streeter, Melanie Fiona, Brandy. Brandy wasn't. So in short, there's a concert coming up. Femme It Forward. And so we did this cover shoot for it. and all of us were in the room. It was electric. It was just inspiring just to be around all these different ladies who have come up at different times in the business and to hear each other's stories and to support each other. You know what I mean? That's when it happens, is when there's an opportunity at an award show or, you know, again, at some kind of function where we could actually get in the room together and we ain't got all the middlemen and the managers and this and all these gatekeepers that keep us artists away from each other. You know, so I think if there's more things that are curated where we can get, you know, into a room and just and sing and just, you know, have a moment where we can just, you know, share music and stuff, I think it would be great. And you would see a lot more collaborations happening.
One time I criticized Sam Smith. And I just used him as like the face of the conversation. I just said, I feel like people don't like R&B music unless white people are singing it.
I mean, they get more support. I mean,
Why is that? Why?
It's the same thing that's been going on for decades. You know, unfortunately, the color of your skin, when it's of the lighter persuasion, you get the support for some reason. You know,
And it's crazy because it's our music.
Yeah, I mean, it's just we know the origin of it, but I could sing a Sam Smith record and it won't get played. It'll sound. They'll have
Urban
all
AC.
These excuses. Yeah, they'll have all these excuses why, you know, stay with me. Why can't I sing that
they'll
song?
They'll probably try to force stay it in gospel. They'll just put it somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Anywhere.
Being
yeah,
legal, yeah. And you know, which is limiting, and that's the problem that I have with these boxes. It's so limiting, and so I got frustrated, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go and do something completely different. I got and went into Broadway and did all those different shows. I did Aida, I did Jekyll and Hyde, I did the Bodyguard. And it took me outside of the whole industry for a minute, which was great for me to just kind of regroup and figure out how to navigate again through this new industry, which is what it is now. It's completely different. It's completely new now.
But it's new in a good way, yeah? Mm-hmm. Because now somebody of your stature can put out music quote-unquote, on their own and feed direct to consumer, you know, give the music that your fans want directly with no one telling you what the people need to hear and stuff. So I do feel like you've took a hiatus, well, not I wouldn't say a hiatus, but a route around for it to come back to exactly where it needed to be. It's a good time right now for music.
It is a good time. I think because we have, like you said, that we have that engagement with our audience. And social media has helped a lot.
I was just about to ask, are you active?
I am now. Okay. I used to have a love-hate relationship with it. Like, I feel like I'm doing this shit all the time. Always on the phone, you know. But now you kind of have to be. And it's great because you get that feedback right away. You know when people are feeling a song. When they're not feeling a song, you can test out music without putting out all this money to go and then you realize that it's not a hit. So now you can just, you know, test it out. If they like it, if they want to hear more of it, you know.
But I feel like with this new age of digital media, because even though our company is like really big on social and we look at numbers every day, literally our people are texting right now in a group how many people are on the site right now. And and you do get consumed with it. But I feel like if you found a pianist, do you play the piano?
I don't.
Okay. If you found a pianist and just sang covers in your way of the shit that's out now, people would be like, this is way better than that. I think.
It all depends, I guess, on the people, the song. I mean, there's so many factors. How can you just generalize things like that?
Because I'm listening to the music. It's just like gospel music. Like right now I'm on the Andrea Johnson, but you know, I love like Karen Clark Sheerden and the Clark Sisters that's music to me. So some of this other stuff that pops up, I'm like, okay, I like Tasha Cobb. I like certain people, but I like vocalists.
What you like.
Yeah, no, if you have to put like a ton of Melodyne on it or a ton of whatever that other little machine, what's that stuff called?
I know what you're talking about. You know, like the auto
tune. She don't know because she don't use it.
You're right about that.
Yeah, you got to use auto tune and Melodyne, and you got to be in a small little confined space with a light, and you got all this extra shit. You're not in my my iTunes.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Well, listen, switching gears. Jason does this show called Problematic, okay?
Right.
Where he picks these, you know, celebrities or trending topics or people who are problematic. You probably won't get an episode because you are like the least.
No, listen. I've been told. I've been told. Can no PR be done? I've been told by a public by a PR person that I don't have enough drama in my life.
Mm-hmm. You really don't. I mean, you married your high school sweetheart.
No, it's so funny because before she came in the room, I'm like, okay, so what drama she got? She said she's the least drama
least
R&B
problematic.
Star.
That's like, the problem.
Period. No, but it shouldn't be that way. But it is those times.
I'm
like, has she had an affair? Is she? She's been married to her high school sweetheart.
You've been married to your high school
sweetheart.
Perfect. So I can give it. I am not perfect.
Mom of three kids.
I have a lot of imperfections that I've learned to not let anybody know about because once people know your imperfections, then they will just use that shit against you. So nobody knows what that is.
But I love that you said shit three times in this interview, which means that
that's probably the only curse word. That's not even a curse word. I know. I'm very, I'm also not, I can be conservative, very conservative. Mm-hmm. And I came up in a time where it was about being classy, you didn't say certain things. You don't chew gum.
Swear to God, she's
interview.
Like my soul
we're
sister.
We're a Canadian soul sister.
like I feel like there's a template, and it's pretty much, you know, again, the people we've named who have been able to have successful careers in music without not knocking the people that have to twerk or be naked every day. I mean, you know, it's your voice. And I don't know. I hope we get back to that.
I hope so too. I mean, I think we are kind of back at a place because everything has been so exposed and so out there that I think people are like, can we just have a little bit less of, you know, can you just not show it all? I think the mystique and the mystery has come back. I think there are people that want to, you know, they don't want to know everything. Mm. Yeah.
How have you been able to balance being a mom and a wife and being Deborah Cox at the same time?
And I've been getting that question a lot lately.
I mean, three kids is no...
It's no joke.
Yo,
we
I have a dog.
Time.
She's a lot, okay?
Yes.
The so, third one. That's
I couldn't imagine.
The third one is a number.
What ages are they?
Yeah.
My son is 16.
Okay.
My daughter's 13, and my youngest daughter just turned 11.
Oh, it's all still fairly young.
So it's all fairly kind
like
of
son
young.
Got a car. Son's
I get
driving
sad
now.
Because oh god, and you should see us on teenagers. Yeah, I put us on Insta story sometimes, and I'm just like, this is so weird to see this kid driving me. And I said, son, I can't get used to it. He's like, mom, you're too nervous. I said, I can't handle it. It's too much. But so I'm at that age, and I literally was just FaceTiming my daughter, who is just freaking out about this Corona thing, and I'm like, I'm okay, I'm in Starbucks. See, baby, I just got my Starbucks, I'm okay. I have my garlic pills.
Did you wipe off everything?
Wiped off everything. Just technology has made it easier to stay connected, and so I do that quite a bit. You know, I'm always texting or whatever, or on FaceTime. I try to prioritize the family. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing for me.
And you guys live out here?
No, I live in Florida.
In Florida, okay.
Yeah, I lived out here for 8 years, and then when I wanted to start a family and kind of chill, I was like, we need to find a place that's back on the East Coast,
thing.
But warm. But
God bless you for finding him in high school, because let me tell you something. My dating pool is a waiting pool right now.
Dating pool is a waiting pool.
It's a series. I'm starting it.
Listen,
it's going to be based on my
Every time on Hollywood Unlocked, there's a really crazy, wild, out-of-control story. The person's from Florida. I don't know what it is about
Florida. It's like Northern Florida, though.
What is happening? Like,
it's like Northern
exactly.
Florida.
Exactly. Make that clear.
Jacksonville.
It's always North Florida.
It's always
Northern Florida.
I don't know. It'd be Florida. I can almost look. As soon as I roll over to Hollywood, I'm going to go, that person from Florida.
That person.
Scroll down.
Scroll down. Oh my God.
So has there ever been like an R&B beef with you see a Toni Braxton, like, bitch, don't come over here. Like, you ever, were you ever mistreated?
Like, I'm going to say that.
You were never mistreated?
I have been mistreated, absolutely. I've been disrespected.
Really?
I have been talked about.
Tell me what Tamia did.
What Tamia?
What do you think? Tamia is so sweet.
I know Shantae Moore did something. What did Shantae do?
Oh my God! I am not gonna air out nothing. You ain't gonna hear nothing from me. I've always been the kind of person that shakes it off. I don't dwell in it, and I don't engage in it. So, I've had moments, and so I would just block that person
and just go on stage and out sing them, and then look over at them.
There
like,
you go.
Get
that,
your bars
that,
up.
That, you said it. You said it.
I mean, really, right?
That's what you do.
When you look at like a group like In Vogue and they just couldn't.
Oh, killing it.
Doesn't, but they broke up.
Those
I mean,
are
like,
my girls.
I need all four Cindy, Max, Terry.
You need all
like,
four.
I need all, yeah. I refuse to entertain.
Whatever's going
on. I like
on
Rona. Now. Happy birthday or whatever. But.
They're dope. Stop. You need to stop. Look, there's so many dynamics that happen in these groups. People have no idea what this industry can mm-hmm. do to mm-hmm. break great situations apart. You know what I mean? I think that's the part that it's sad because once you're a fan of somebody or of a group or something, and then you hear about all the drama and stuff, it changes the whole perspective. And you know, you could lose, you know, the love for them because of all the crazy. But you don't know what caused that crazy. You know what I mean? So, just.
Well, when you look at what the Grammys did to Ledisi and put it, or Oscars, whatever, pull Ledisi on through Beyonce, and we know what that is.
On what?
You remember when she sung, what was it, Selma, from Selma?
Yeah, I remember. Ledisi,
she had sung that song. Like, it was Ledisi's song, and then Beyonce performed it, I think, at the Grammys or the Oscars. And Ledisi just fell back and didn't say anything. And I texted her like, girl, I'd have been out there. But, you know, again.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but I think that was like a color or popularity thing. I don't know.
I mean, it's Beyonce. Weird. Yeah, I do love Ledisi.
I love Ledisi. She's dope.
No, she's
listen,
everything.
I've seen her not just do what she does on stage, but that woman.
She can sing.
Can sing.
She can act.
Sound, and act. Mm-hmm. And she did a workshop for, I won't name it. I can't say anything. But she did a workshop. So as an artist, like as a singer who can do like musical theater, mm-hmm. she can switch it. And do all of that as well.
Why have you thought about doing like a master class? I mean, because
I would absolutely do it. Yeah,
but you could do it online. He just created a whole series where he's showing people how to get into broadcasting and this and that. Mm-hmm. You need to show her.
It's work, but it's worth it.
And I think people of your that's where you at. You know,
you have the credit
benefit for it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Listen.
Noted.
Because people could just rent it all over they could buy it all over the world. So if they pay $500 for a course or $1,000 for a course, they could buy it anywhere in the world. You have fans everywhere.
Right.
But more than the money, you're helping people the right way.
Forget all that. We want 10%. Line it up.
No.
That's hysterical.
More than anything, you know, I feel like people that's in this industry need the guidance. And,
absolutely.
You know, that's why a lot of times you might not get the respect or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You're able to personally give that touch and help the next generation.
Right. Yeah.
That's how you'd be able to mentor on a large scale.
And I mean, you got the gay community already. You got our people. Yeah. We love you.
Yeah. Could you imagine someone making it and then they're saying, you know, I learned from Deborah Cox. You know, it's a different kind of feeling.
True. Yeah.
Okay, so you're a Canadian, so you have a philanthropic spirit.
Yes.
And it says that some of your latest moves are activism. So what are some of the charitable causes that are near and dear to your heart?
Oh, my, so many. Mm. I mean, I mean, AIDS-related stuff, stuff dealing with, transgender. I just did something with the Trevor Project. Mm-hmm. I think it's really about just constantly keeping, the emphasis on authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think that, I think now it's coming, that conversation is now coming to the forefront, but it has always been something that has been, I guess people are scared to just talk about being real, being their real, true, authentic self. And that includes transgender. And I think now the conversation for me, because I've been doing so much in the LGBTQ community, AIDS is not as much of a conversation, but it's this idea of transgender, who is transgender, what is transgenderism, what is all of that, how do you figure out what and who do you love, you know what I mean? So I've been moving a lot more into that conversation and just kind of helping people to figure that out. You know, loving unconditionally.
What do you think about how Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union are raising their
that
daughter?
Could you imagine? I mean, I'm looking at it from a perspective of being a mother. Mm-hmm. How could you look at your child and in their eyes, and how can you deny what they're feeling in their soul? You know what I mean? Like you're playing God at that point if you're going to pass judgment on them and make them feel, and you're not allowing them to be who they really are. And so I would never ever want my child to feel, you know, not loved by me because they feel like they can't be their authentic self. Like mm-hmm. that would just kill me and crush me. And so I applaud Dwayne and Gabrielle. I mean, their whole family dynamic is really, really complex. Mm-hmm. And they have just been, you know, so supportive and championing her decision, you know. And I mean, I think the first experience that I had hearing about that kind of thing was I met this little girl who knew when she was very, very young. Her name was Jasmine, Jazz. Mm-hmm. And I met her years ago. And she transitioned. I met her when she was a boy, and then when she transitioned. And she knew then who she was. Mm-hmm. She was so solid in her, in knowing who she was, mm-hmm. that I just couldn't deny, like, this girl knows that she's a girl inside. She was born in the wrong body.
Yeah, we've had three guests on the show that are transgendered. Right. One that was born a girl, transitioned into a boy, and two in the reverse. And that was always my first question of, like, how old were you when you knew or got that feeling that you were born into the wrong body? And Sydney Starr said she was like six mm-hmm. or something mm-hmm. like that. I'm right. not sure what TS said. I mean, I'm of like mind of you as you, you know, like just as a parent, like, you know,
I mean,
just somebody watching, like I'm proud of Gabrielle and Dwayne for yeah. handling it. So, you know, in such a dignified fashion. Yeah.
Well, what I loved about, cause when I ran into, Dwayne and Gabrielle at All Star, mm-hmm. I said, hey, you know, I said to both of them, I said, I really applaud you for how you're standing for your daughter. It's not the easiest thing to do, especially you being an NBA star and this whole testosterone world of, yeah. basketball, and you as the stepmom,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
and Gabrielle could have said anything. She said, well, we don't know everything and we're trying to get it right. But if you ever see us not doing something right, please tell us.
Oh, wow.
I was like, okay.
That's dope.
You know,
yeah.
but that comes from a place, I think, of not tolerance, but acceptance of who your kid is and just
yeah.
love for your child and wanting mm-hmm. to be the best parent you can to support
them.
She's
a Scorpio, so she's going to love fiercely.
There was a story... years ago, growing up, when this was like crazy, this I think was the first time I'd ever heard about this idea of someone being born with the wrong genitalia. Mm-hmm. And it was a doctor who, some of these kids were being born with two.
Hermaphrodites?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And the doctor chose.
Which one that they kept?
Yes.
Wow.
So could you imagine being one of those kids who, you know,
Who the gender was chosen
the gender
for
was
them?
Chosen for them, and
based
then the doctor ended up
Wow.
And I think
wow.
acceptance happens when people start to learn that the world is much bigger than what they're
yes.
going through. You know, like
yeah.
it's multi-layered and
yeah.
Okay, so talk to us about influence over at BET.
Oh, influence is on BET Plus.
BET Plus.
So it's streaming.
Okay.
So I got offered this role to play Savannah, who is this award-winning songstress who
that's my middle name.
Is it Savannah?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's the connection? So she, long story short, it's like a legal thriller, and she is accused of killing her husband. My husband is Anthony Hamilton, and we didn't have a lot of scenes together, but I just got to say, it was...
Wait, he was your husband?
He's my husband
Wait,
in
you
the
didn't
movie.
Have a lot of scenes together because you killed him?
Yes.
Damn.
Pretty wait, no, much. Wait, she's accused of killing him.
I'm accused
him.
Of murder,
so
yes.
we don't know if she killed
we
him.
We don't know.
She yeah. did that shit.
You have to see.
He's
Savannah
a sweetheart.
Has, yeah,
Anthony's
he's a, cool,
a sweetheart. Yeah.
And so funny. A mm-hmm. lot of people don't know that funny side, but he's yeah. hilarious. But it's a really great cast. It was Roger Genevieve Smith, Kalita Smith, Gary Dorden, Columbus Short. I mean, it's a nice... solid cast.
Did you ever on break with Columbus say, how super hit?
Listen, our first...
I was just waiting for Jason to say
first,
something. I was
my
waiting.
First day was our... We had a very you know, it was a very interesting scene together. But
wait,
but it was
love
super
scene?
Cool. Yeah, well, you got to see the movie.
I would have disinfected him down.
Oh my gosh, you're so good.
Oh, Deborah, I would have gave you some gloves, a mask. I'd have got some Clorox wipes and wiped that ass down.
He was super cool.
There ain't nothing wrong.
And
Columbus,
chill, dope, and dope actor. Listen, talented, and the whole cast was solid.
Besides my book, my own book, I've never sat down in one sitting and read an entire book except for Superheads. So after reading that book, if you have to do a love scene,
I've never read it.
No, but you ain't missing that. You're saving brain cells.
Okay.
Melissa, you know.
Her first one?
Yeah.
Oh, she mentioned?
There's more.
No, I'm just
saying.
I read it.
And she's trying to write another one.
No, I'm just saying I sat and read it in the mall.
I get it.
Read it.
It was torrid. Yes.
Oh my God.
So would you ever write a tell-all about, like, you have to write a tell-all
about
these girls?
She got married to her high school sweetheart.
No, I know, but look.
A tell-all? I mean, I would absolutely talk about my life and some of the things that have happened to me in the industry.
It's your truth.
Who was evil to me. And
ooh.
Yeah, there were some juicy moments.
Seriously.
I would absolutely.
Drop the book.
No, drop the book.
Drop it.
And then I say that today and tomorrow I'll be like, no.
Speaking of dropping the book, R. Kelly hopefully ain't dropping the soap. What do you think about, like, the whole R. Kelly scandal,
Robert?
Like, cause listen, you know, you've been in the industry for a minute.
Abuse is abuse, and you know the law will take care of it. I mean, you cannot get away with, like, Harvey Weinstein, all that stuff.
Mm.
You know, your karma is something.
Were
it
you
comes
a,
back?
Were you a fan of his before? You know, in the years before all this
I
came out,
I went with it. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you were on tour with R. Kelly?
Yeah.
Really?
Okay,
it was myself.
Aaliyah?
It was, no. Myself, oh my God. But it was a very interesting lineup. It was myself. I think it was, I can't remember.
3LW?
I just remember, the promoters ended up, you know what? That'll be in the book.
Okay.
Promoters ended up saying, this motherfucker's crazy. We can't do this anymore.
They always used to say, Deborah, we love your crew. You guys are so cool. So every single venue we went into.
Because they were the sane ones.
We were the sane
and everybody
ones.
Else was crazy.
Oh, my
you
God.
You know, but she could have saved herself from Robert. All she had to do was put outside her dressing room, you have to be this old to ride this ride.
He would
have
never seen him anyway. we would never see him anyway. See, oh, there you go. R. Kelly, Foxy Brown, Busta Rhymes, Deborah Cox, team up for tour.
Oh, that's
see,
a,
it's all
heard he had
online.
Like a,
it's all
a,
online.
No, I heard he had like a cold beer or whatever when he would perform, and everybody had to like leave the hallways. And
yeah.
It was like
yeah,
this
you
whole.
You can't look at him. Yeah,
yeah
it was
you can't look at
really?
Him.
Really?
It was a lot. There was a memo that went out.
Yeah.
That's insane.
This is what I'm saying about this.
People
industry,
said this
man.
Though
like,
publicly,
and people did like, come on, it's not. It's just not that deep.
With people's like, eccentricities, and I use that term,
you have a lot of them.
Loosely, you know, does it affect your love of their music? Like,
absolutely,
yeah.
I'm
same.
Oh no,
yes. I lose my desire to listen to their
too.
Music anymore.
Me too.
Yeah,
me too. Because the music
too.
Is deep. Like, music is deep for mm-hmm. me. Like. If you're singing about something and then I find out that there's another thing that was happening and then I'll listen to those lyrics again.
And they take on a different
and they
context.
Take on a different exactly. They take on a different context.
AJ number to number.
That's why I can't really listen to Robert no more, man.
You have somebody remind you of a Jeep.
You want to ride it.
Ain't nothing wrong with a little bumper.
That being said.
Yeah. Well, listen, we love you. So music-wise, what's next?
What's next? More music. I'm in the studio with Rico Love.
Hey,
I love Rico.
Yeah, Rico's dope.
Now, Rico, they should have fired the girl over at the Grammys, though. I told him myself. They should, I like
her.
Did
you say that?
Yeah, I told him. He said, I said, when you can come on the show, he was like, yeah. I said, because you know you put that girl out. You know, but I like Rico. I like, he's on the board at the Grammys.
Yeah. Yeah. The new single, Easy Way, check it out. Is already, you know, it's already streaming. It's up on YouTube and everything. So we're finishing up the album as we speak. I'm in Miami. We're all there. We're, you know, in there when we can because there's so much going on. But this would be the first time I'm working with one producer that is overseeing everything. Mm-hmm. So he is...
and that's Rico.
The executive producer.
Rico.
Yeah, and also writing and contributing. He's so
talented.
And
smart.
Just gifted. Like.
Yeah.
Very, like, just amazing, amazing music comes from him. And different types of music, not just the same thing, mm-hmm. you know, and really finds a way to connect with you to help tell your story. So I love that.
I'm going to tell Rico, Deborah Cox had more courage than you to come on our show. Rico. Mm-hmm. No, but we appreciate you coming
thank
up here.
You. Yes.
I've always
you.
Enjoyed you.
Yes. Thank you so much.
And anybody who can
it.
Sing and get the gay community behind them,
yes.
like, for years.
And they have been there solid, like, unconditional. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter what project I was doing. If I did Broadway, if I did jazz, if I did R&B, if I did dance.
And not just black gays. You got
it.
The white gays.
Everybody. I love it.
Have you ever done the white party in Palm Springs?
Oh, yeah. How many times have I? Okay. I just did, was it 25th anniversary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, we love you. Come back
thank
anytime.
Thank you so yes. much.
All right. We're out of here. Peace.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
What up, YouTube? Thank you for watching this Reckless show.
Yeah, and hit that subscribe button, and don't forget to hit the notification bell.
And also don't forget to share and leave a comment because we are reading.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.